the Columbia Workshop. Tonight we're to hear the... Tonight we're to hear the... Well, maybe I'd better turn this over to our director, Perry Lafferty, who is supposed to have situations like this under control.
Thanks. What Harry Clark was trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is that tonight the workshop is going to present... Jenny, please, mind your manners. You'll have your chance in just a few minutes. Now, will you promise to be quiet until we're ready for you? That's better. I'm not going to tell you listeners anything at all about Jenny. That'll be taken care of in the story itself. But it might be a good idea to explain just why the workshop decided you ought to hear about her. When we received Mr. Maurice Daubier's script from way up in Bangor, Maine, it seemed nothing short of imperative that the tale of Jenny be passed right on to you because of its sheer impudence and delightful nonsense. To decorate the saga of Jenny, we asked Van Cleve to write a score suitable to the situation and Tom Tully to play the part of Mike, who will, during the story, explain just how all this happened. All right, Van, give a tug to the musical curtain so we can begin Maurice Daubier's tale of Jenny, the bus that nobody loves.
Maybe it's true, but I don't know.
Listen, it's true, all right. Just give me a chance to tell you the whole thing.
You mean there's more to it than what you said?
More to it? Well, I didn't do nothing but touch Jenny's surface, so to speak. Let me jump back to the beginning. Yes, sir. Back in the old days, when bus service was just beginning between Boston and New York, Jenny was quite a machine. She was queen of the road. She could whiz along at 40 miles an hour all the way, and she didn't give hardly no trouble. She was real proud of herself, too. You could feel it holding her wheel, sort of a quiet, throbbing pride. Like a dame that knows she's got everything but don't boast about it, because she ain't got no need to boast. She had a nice, pleasant voice, too. All the way, on every run she took, you could hear her engine purring. Jenny was always happy, and she liked to hear the things the passengers said about her.
She's a beautiful job, Mike.
Isn't it wonderful, darling, traveling this way? So clean and cozy, too.
Boy, this is smooth.
Hey, this bus is a mess.
All the time it was like that. People saying nice things about her. And don't you think Jenny didn't appreciate him? She was just like a person. When she got a compliment, she just tried all the harder to live up to it. And she liked the people, too. The traveling men, the honeymooners, and the kids. Particularly kids. But times change, you know. Progress. They kept making bigger buses. More comfortable ones. Faster ones. And it wasn't long before they took Jenny off a run. Shoved her right out of the picture.
What happened then, Mike?
Well, one day it happened that all the regular buses was full up, and they needed an extra one to carry four passengers who was left over. So they brought Jenny out again. She'd been eating her heart out all alone, sobbing in the dust and dark until her paint was cracked. Because the poor gal didn't know why they'd taken her off. She'd always done her best for the company and the traveling men and the kids. She didn't know all the improvements they'd made in buses, and she was happy when they brought her out. Happy even when she found out there were only four passengers. She figured business must have fallen off. But her motor was knocking brave and hard, and she was all set to show them she could still do the run just as good as always. I was going to drive her that first day out, the first time they'd used her for 3 whole years. And what a day it turned out to be. Well, Jenny, old girl, it's been a long time since I sat behind your wheel. How have you been? Oh, that's fine.
Hey, is this the bus to New York?
This is it.
What's the idea of running this old rattle trap?
She rides smooth, mister. Not quite as comfortable as some of the others, maybe, but she'll get you there.
Now, listen, I got to get to New York in a hurry.
That's okay. We won't be long on the road.
Yeah, you got to say that, I suppose. You work for the company.
I've driven this bus for years.
Well, it looks it. When it had gone to service, just before the Civil War.
Joey, I guess this must be it.
Watch your step, lady.
Ma, why don't we ride in the pretty part?
We were too late to get the tickets, Joey. I told your father he was wasting time, but no. He had to have a second piece of pie at that cafeteria. Oh, where is he now?
Here he is, over there. Hey, Pop, this bus is crummy.
Martin, don't drop that suitcase.
Oh,
yeah. Hey, driver, what's the time?
2:35.
How long we got to wait here? That other bus pulled out 10 minutes ago.
These are the last passengers. Watch your step, sir.
Well, we got plenty of room anyway. Come on, Marvin, don't dawdle.
And no, dear. Yes,
dear. That other bus is halfway to New York. Now, of all the rotten luck.
We won't come in far behind her. Watch your step. I tell you, sir, I know this bus. She's got more in the ball than people give her credit for.
Gee, Ma, these seats are rotten. Look, they ain't got no springs. I can't bounce.
It's your father, Joey. He's responsible.
Mammy, I ain't to blame for these seats.
It's your fault we're sitting on them. If you hadn't dawdled back at that cafeteria...
Now, dear, how was I to know they put us on an old bus like this? I thought it would up to the minute the bus come. You would take better care of your passengers.
How was you to know? You fall.
Well, dear,
I bet you forgot to give me that movie magazine, too. These ways, I don't see it anywhere.
Hey, Pop, where's my Superman?
There, you see? You go right out and buy them magazines this minute.
You'll have to hurry. We're pulling out right away.
Oh, I should hope so. Listen.
Mamie, dear, can I have some money?
I should say not. You got change from the cafeteria.
But, honey, that's my allowance.
The least you could do, Marvin McIntosh, is to spend a little of your own money for the company of wife and child.
I can't hold this bus more than 3 minutes longer.
I'm jumping seahorses. 3 minutes more if this stand. I get to New York quicker if I walk.
Hurry up, Marvin. Don't keep everybody waiting.
Pop! Don't forget my Superman. And give me some bubble gum, too.
All right, Joey. Superman and bubble gum. Super gum and bubble man.
If I don't make my appointment, I'll be out $1,000 and maybe my job.
That was Jenny. Champing at the bit. You see, she'd been getting sore at all these cracks, and she was just in the mood to show these mugs that she still had the stuff. By the time Marvin got back, we were 2 minutes behind schedule. But Jenny made that up the minute we got out of Boston and hit the open highway. Yes, sir, if I hadn't have known that Jenny was an old girl, I'd have thought I was driving one of them swanky new jobs. She ate up the road, I'm telling you.
How'd the passengers like it?
Well, even the guy that was in the hurry was impressed. Of course, Jenny didn't ride so easy, so while he stopped complaining about her speed, he started to beef about the bumps. Still and all, I think we'd have caught up with the bus that started out ahead of us, and I think we'd have let her into New York. If it hadn't been for something that happened 5 miles out. The New York to Boston bus passed, and when Jenny got a look at that baby, she just give up. She'd never seen the new buses on the line, and she was so humiliated that she broke down. Of course, it didn't take long to get her started again, but I could tell that her heart wasn't in it no more. She didn't do no more than drag along the road. And Mr. Tough Guy started to grouse again.
Listen, bud, I could make better time if I walked. Any self-respecting snail that couldn't beat this person to walk ought to shut up shop. Can't you step her up anymore?
I'm doing all I can, sir.
Well, would it help if we got out and pushed?
We won't be more than a few minutes late. Hey, kid, you better go back and sit down.
I ain't touching nothing.
Go on now, you might fall down.
Not when we're going as slow as this, I won't.
If anything happened to you, the company be responsible. Now go on.
Hey, Ma, can I stay up front here? Of
course you can, Joey.
He says I can't.
You tell him we paid money to ride on this bus, and I guess we can ride any way we want to.
Yeah, Ma says I can stay up here in front.
Okay. But don't monkey with a dashboard.
I ain't touching it. Don't you let him pass you, Joey. Oh, I ain't scared of him. He ain't so tough. This funny-looking button, mister.
There's a sign up there that says, don't talk to the driver while this vehicle is in motion.
Huh, you couldn't call this motion.
What happened if I pushed it? The button here, huh?
Well, I'm getting fed up with this little brat by this time, and I'm all set to poke him in the puss if he don't behave. I've taken plenty from passengers in my day, but there comes a time when a guy takes all he can stand. And even if it means my paycheck, I intend to chastise the kid. So I said, you try it and you'll find out. Just at this point, the speed demon says in a loud voice, never mind the kid. Hurry up and get to New York. And just at this point, the kid pushes the button on Jenny's dashboard. And just at this point, as true as I'm standing here, Jenny, with us inside her, is stepping right smack outside the bus station on 43rd Street in New York.
What? But that's impossible.
I'm telling you. Well, we all just sat there for a couple of minutes like we'd been hit smack between the eyes. Then the woman screamed.
Ow!
Joey said,
"Jeez."
And the guy that wanted to get to New York fast started to use words he shouldn't have before women and children. Then he stopped all of a sudden and just sat there staring out at the city like he'd never seen it before. I guess I was the first one to come to. I said, "Hey, kid, what button did you push?"
"This one here."
There it was. And I swear I never seen it before, a little gold button.
"I didn't do nothing. Well, I didn't."
"Keep your trap shut. I got to think."
"Oh, that's all. Let us out."
"All that happened was he said, get to New York, and you push the button, and wham, here we are."
"I got it."
"You got what?"
"I know what this is. It's a mirage."
"Yeah, that's just like I was reading in Science Magazine."
"Listen, kid, when I say when, you push that button again, see?"
"Sure."
"Get back to Boston where we started from. When?" It worked. There we was, right back in front of the bus station on Boylston Street. I knew it right away because it wasn't as noisy as New York. The only trouble was, there wasn't no parking space available, and we was on top of another bus.
What? On top of another bus? Are you kidding?
I'm not explaining this thing, see? I'm just telling you what happened. We was just perched up there. There wasn't no accident or nothing. We rested up there just as easy as anything. But Mother McCree was squawking so loud, I decided we better change our spot again. So I said, "Get back to New York." And the kid pushed the button, and so he. We're back in Manhattan again. This time, the guy that was in the big hurry didn't waste no time. He staggered down front and says in a husky baritone,
"This is where I get off."
I started to open the door for him, but I forgot to keep my eye on little room. All of a sudden, I hear him say,
"I wish we was in Africa."
By the time the door was open, the guy that was getting off stepped down right in front of a lion that hadn't finished his dinner. Well, Hasty Pudding jumped back into the bus with a yell. I cuffed Junior and sent Jenny back to New York. Walk out front of the bus station was crowded, and a blue coat come up waving a stick and shooting his mouth off. I opened the door so I could hear what he was saying. He started off by trying to pull that oldie about.
"Hey, what's going on around here?"
But before he could get the words out of his mouth, he was nearly knocked over by the rush of refugees from the bus. First went the guy that was in the hurry, and brother, did he really mean it. Then Mamie dragged Joey out and Marvin followed him. But she sent him back to pick up the movie magazine he left. Finally, there was I alone with Jenny, a policeman, and a couple hundred bystanders.
"Are you going to answer my question, buddy?"
"I didn't catch it, officer."
"You would if you'd stay in one place long enough. What kind of a game you been playing with that bus?"
"You got to ask Jenny. She's the only one got any answer to that."
"Jenny who?"
"Jenny. She's the bus."
"Any company'd hire a loony to drive for him ought to have its license revoked. Now, come on, get out of there."
"I can't leave, Jenny. It mightn't be safe."
"I don't want no lift, see? You're going to the station."
"What for? What have I done?"
"I don't know. All I know is I can book you on lots of charges. Running from drunken driving to creating a disturbance."
"You want to smell my breath?"
"I got better ways of spending my time. Now, come along."
"Listen, officer, get inside of me.
And have you maybe pull a knife on me? Not on your life."
"But if I tell you what's been going on, you wouldn't believe me. All I want to do is show you."
"We're going to the station."
"Okay, anywhere you want. I can take you there in 1 second flat."
"Are you coming out or do I have to pull you out?"
"What station are you taking me to?"
49th Street Precinct, and I ain't hit.
"Well, I ain't coming."
"Okay, you ask for it. I'm getting in."
"Jenny, 49th Street Police Station."
"Don't tell me. And there you were, huh?"
"Say, you're catching on quick." "Yeah, there we were." The cop hadn't noticed nothing. All he had in his mind was hauling me out of the bus, and I went along quiet. We landed on the sidewalk, and he turned around.
"All right, move along. Break it up."
His jaw dropped 7 inches. He looked up kind of dazed at the door of the police station. Then he looked at me. Then he looked at Jenny.
"What's going on around here?"
"That's what I've been trying to tell you, officer. This bus ain't no ordinary bus.
It's a... Well, I guess you'd call it a magic bus.
How did we get here?
All you have to do is say where you want to go, then press this button, and there you are.
You can't do this to me. Get away with it.
You got no call to run me in.
Oh, no? I guess reckless driving would cover it.
So they put me in jail. That's justice for you. Now, what happened to Jenny? You don't think your story's all over, do you? Say, mister, it's just beginning. Well, I didn't think they'd leave me in jail for long. I work for a big company, but it's a company that's got a heart. They sent someone down to pay my fine. A Mr. Siegelbaum, one of the company lawyers. A good guy, too. Well, when we got out on the street, he led me over to a big car and said...
Gideon, Mike.
Yeah, thanks. Boy, it sure feels good to be out again. Say, Mr. Siegelbaum, where's Jenny?
Jenny? Your wife?
No, I ain't married. Jenny, the bus.
Oh, the bus. The bus you were driving?
Yeah. Where is she? Is she all right?
Oh, I presume so, yes.
They put her in the garage?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Good old Jenny. Who'd have thought she had it in her?
Oh, who indeed? Well, Mike, I'm taking you to the office, Mike. Mr. Black wants to talk with you.
The president? Say, I never seen him before. What's the matter? They're not putting me on a carpet for this, are they? It ain't my fault.
Oh, no. It's just that, well, Mr. Black wants to find out a few things. Something is certainly the matter when a bus behaves as abnormally as Jenny has claimed to have behaved.
What do you mean, claim? You mean you think I was lying about Jenny's being a magic bus?
I wouldn't accuse you of that. You've been with this company a good many years, and we've never had any complaints about your morals or your habits.
Well, thanks, Mr. Black. I always tried to do my job the best I knew how.
And no one could ask you to do more.
Mr. Black, let's get down the cases.
All right, J.B. Mike, this is J.B. Buckman, our public relations man.
Pleased to meet you, I'm sure.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Sure, shoot.
What was your favorite reading when you were a child?
Huh?
J.B.'s a psychologist, Mike. He's always asking questions like that.
Oh.
What are you getting at, J.B.?
For instance, did you ever read fairy stories or the Arabian Nights?
No, I didn't read much of anything.
Now look, J.B., I don't question your methods, but aren't you going about this from the wrong angle? It isn't as if Mike started this story about a haywire bus. It's those confounded passengers who've been raising all the row.
I think I can give you your answer, Mr. Black.
Already?
Already. It's a simple case of mass hypnosis.
Fine. That's just fine. Excellent. I knew we could trust you to come through, J.B. What's it mean?
It's almost impossible to explain. But it's a recognized fact that at certain times, a wave sweeps over even quite ordinary people. A wave of hypnosis. Sometimes it's induced by a spellbinder's voice. Sometimes it comes quite unexpectedly and for no obvious reason. Take the Hindus. The Hindus are masters at the art of creating mass hypnosis.
Siegelbaum, find out if we've got any Hindus working for us and fire them.
Oh, we don't have any.
How about digging up one so we can fire him? Make a good feature story and show that we're right in there serving the public interest.
J.B., are you trying to tell us that this whole thing was a figment of the public imagination?
Exactly.
What about the people in the bus?
They were all victims of suggestion.
You think that bus ain't haunted?
Of course not. It's just an ordinary bus. In fact, a very ordinary bus.
Yes, Hilda. Oh, reporters, tell them I'll have a statement for them in 5 minutes.
Buckman, you're going to stick to that line?
It's the only reasonable explanation there is.
Gentlemen, would you like to take a little trip in that ordinary bus?
A trip?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Hilda, tell those reporters to wait. I'll have a statement for them in half an hour.
Is this the bus? Nothing very distinctive about it.
Mike, now, where's this magic contraption you claim makes this bus jump around?
There. Where? There's a button right there, sir.
Oh.
Now, if you gentlemen will just sit down and tell me where you'd like to go.
This is sheer nonsense.
That's what you say. Okay. What's your first stop?
I think Mr. Black should be allowed first choice.
Me? No, no. You boys decide. Light me a cigar, Sigelbaum.
All right. I'll play your silly little game. Let's make it the South Sea Island.
Which one?
Which? Tahiti.
Tahiti it is. Okay, Jenny, give. How do you like that, Buckman?
This is impossible.
There's a way of proving whether it's real or not. There's a coconut lying out there on the grass. If one of us could go out and pick it up and bring it back into the bus...
Okay, hold everything. I'll go.
Here! Cat!
Well, that settles that. Now where are we?
Tahiti. And it's not bad. Not bad at all. Look at that flock of girls coming towards us.
Look at something else. Look at your watches.
Watches?
What time is it?
It's 11 o'clock.
It was 11 o'clock at night, just 2 minutes ago. Right now, we're in the middle of tomorrow morning. How do you like that? Now, don't you wish that this was something simple, like mass hypnosis?
Great Scott, he's right. Mike, get this bus back to New York.
Okay. New York, Jenny. Same place where we started from.
Phew. Thank heaven. It worked.
This is black magic. I don't want anything more to do with it. Let me out.
You can't leave, J.B. You've got to give me a story for the reporter.
Take them for a ride and let them make up their own story.
I wonder...
What is it, Ziggy?
Well, if this bus is capable of shooting through space, I wonder if it can shoot through time.
Make them get away from that bus.
Come on, Ziggy. We'll go up and have a conference. You can play games later.
All right.
You want me?
Of course. We couldn't do without you.
You come to me. I can do without the soda.
Right.
Mr. Black, there's only one solution.
Yes?
That bus must be destroyed.
Hey, wait a minute.
That sounds pretty drastic to me, too, J.B. Seems to me we ought to consider.
If you don't get rid of that tumble-down piece of witchcraft, I promise that this company is going out of business and going out fast.
Well, what makes you say that?
The public may like fantasy and fiction, but give them a touch of it in real life, and they'll panic.
Ziggy, I think J.B.'s right. If we scrap the bus, the trouble's all over. If we don't, if we keep it on the regular run and the papers go to town on the story, we're going to have one problem after another.
But think of the opportunities. If this bus can travel through time, think what a great thing it'd be for the historians, for everybody.
Yes, but think of the temptation of criminals. Suppose a bunch of gangsters got under this and shanghaied the bus someday when it was on the road. There'd be a crime wave that'd knock this country on its ear, and there'd be no way of stopping.
Well, I still think...
I've made up my mind. All I want is to run a nice modern bus company, run it quietly, and make a good profit. J.B.'s right. We can't afford to keep this bus in commission. The best thing to do is just to tear it to pieces and sell it for scrap. We'd better do it right now, too, before those reporters start snooping around and find out something that they shouldn't. Mike, you're elected. Drive it around to the garage and have it dismantled.
Well, I never felt so low in my whole life as I did when I left that office and went down and got behind Jenny's wheel again. I guess there's a price you gotta pay if you're different, and Jenny'd gotta pay it. I run my hands over the wheel and tooted the horn just for luck. And then I decided to do it. Much as I hated it, I knew there was only one way I could save Jenny from the scrap heap. I got out my tools, and I started to work to take out that button. Jenny didn't complain, not Jenny. But then she wouldn't. She was made of fine stuff, Jenny was. Then, just as I was finishing... Siegelbaum came running over to
him. I'm glad I caught you, Mike, before you ran her over to the junkyard.
Yeah?
Yeah, I talked Mr. Black around. He's going to keep the bus, let it out to private parties at a big price.
Oh.
Well, what's the matter?
I didn't say nothing. I couldn't. I just showed him what I'd done. He stood there staring at the hole in Jenny's dashboard. Leave me draw a curtain over that scene. You still listening?
Sure. Go ahead, Mike.
I tried to put the button back, but it wasn't no use. You can't fool around with magic, I guess. Jenny was just a plain, simple bus again. Just an old bus that'd see her best day. She'd had one flash of glory, but now it was over. She was just an old, broken-down hack, and so was my heart.
They got rid of both of us, Jenny and me.
I don't like stories unless they have a happy ending. I told you that before you started. Here I've been listening for a half hour and you spring this on me.
What makes you think this story ain't got a happy ending?
Well, has it?
Sure it has. Come on with me outside, right in front of my house here.
All right.
There's Jenny now, standing at the curb. She didn't go to the junkyard.
Well, I'll be.
Come in, Jenny.
Hiya, Mike. Let's go.
Take your time, Buster. You see, mister, a club down on the east side border. Buster here meets me every Sunday at this time, and we go on and pick up a bunch of other youngsters down the block, and we all go out to the country.
Hey, that's fine.
There ain't much dough in it for me, but that don't matter. Taking them poor kids out to green fields makes me happier than I've ever been in my life. And that goes for Jenny, too. She always liked kids. Liked to see them having fun. And they're crazy about her. They love her, see? And that's what Jenny's always needed, affection. Why, I never seen her run smoother or faster than she does every Sunday. She's starting a new life, all right. And it suits her fine. Well, I gotta go now. See you later.
Yeah. Okay.
Goodbye, Mike.
Just heard the Columbia Workshops production of The Bus That Nobody Loved, written by Maurice Dalbier of station WABI, the Columbia Network affiliate in Bangor, Maine. Tom Tully was Mike the bus driver. The special score was composed and conducted by Van Cleve. Al DiCaprio engineered. Sound was by Charles Raines, Jim Rogan, and Max Miller. In the cast were Jim Backus, Henriette Kay, Roy Fant, Tommy Lewis, Howard Smith, Eddie Mayhoff, Winfield Honey, and Sandy Strauss. Terry Lafferty directed.